We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Here's the stat. Ryan Scarpino, former Steelers PR person. Very nice man, Ron. You know him?
I did back in the day. Have sort of lost touch with him.
I believe he's a Shaler man.
Is he a Shaler man?
I believe so.
Jerry Mitulovic, the legendary baseball coach, is a name that springs to mind when Shaler's mentioned.
Shaler baseball.
Danny Fortson's another. Any Shaler names come to mind for you, Ron?
No, not really. I didn't.
You remember Mitulovic?
I remember the names. I just can't think of any off the top of my head. I can name the Beaver County guys, but not the Shaler guys.
Well, Ryan Scarpino's one of them. Scarps on Twitter. And he throws out lots of opinions and lots of stats. Here's one. Steelers' offensive plays through three games is 174. Defensive plays is 231, the most through the first three games of any of the team's seasons since the merger, which was 1970, I think.
Wow, that's taken some research.
Offense is minus 57 in plays, which is the biggest difference in the first three games of any season since the merger. That is incredible, Ron.
It's incrinculant.
That is incrinculant.
Incrinculant.
Here's the meaning that I make out of it. The defense wasn't good enough in Cleveland. However, after winning a game and being on the field the whole game in overtime at Cincy and literally winning them a football game, the defense, without its best player, has gone out on a field two times and has given up 17 and 22 points. They should win both those games. One of those in the 17-point game was a muffed punt at the 10-yard line. One of those touchdowns in the other game was when the team took over near midfield because the Steelers missed a field goal. They weren't good in Cleveland. I mean, that was obvious. But I think there are many reasons for that besides just not playing well up front. And I think a huge reason for this defense being subpar in Cleveland, for example, was because the offense is never on the field. It can't stay on the field. You have to protect your defense. Minus 57 in three games. Well, it speaks for itself. The Steelers haven't done that. They've had some bad teams, not a ton of them, but some bad teams since the merger. That's never happened before. So when I'm adding up reasons for subpar defensive play, man, the offense's incompetence has to be high on that list.
Yeah, I get that, but it's still early in the season. And, you know, they lost me the game before against New England when they couldn't get off the field the last 6:33 of the game. Maybe it wouldn't have mattered. Maybe the offense wouldn't have done anything. But that one really, the time of possession until that last drive was pretty close in that game. They just couldn't get off the field. And then the same thing in those two drives in the second half, they couldn't get off the field. Exhaustion, yeah, maybe, but it's still early in the season. They rotate a lot of guys. I just don't think they played very well.
So if I tell you moving ahead here into the crux of their schedule that the Steelers will give up right around 17, 21, 22 points against Buffalo, Philly, Miami, Tampa, would you sign up for that?
Yeah,
I would. So they have.
I don't know that that's feasible. I don't know that that's going to happen against those offenses. You're not playing, you know, Mac Jones, who you didn't think was very good in that game. You're not playing Jacoby Brissett. You know, you're going to be playing Josh Allen and Tom Brady and Who else? Tua and
Hurts.
And Hurts.
But the point is is that enough to win it? Should that be enough to win an NFL game?
Dick LeBeau always used to say their goal was 17 points. You hold a team to 17, you should win.
You should win. I mean, to me, the most important stat of all is points given up. And in those two games, they were winnable. Winnable performances by a defense that's missing its best player. Can you imagine Dallas's defense without Micah Parsons? I mean, I'd be saying, let's just hold on here.
Is he good or is he good?
You know, there's other guys out there who are, there are only a few. I think Micah and TJ are the two biggest game wreckers in the league.
I watched again a little bit of that last night. Micah Parsons is unblockable.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if he's double teamed. He finds a way.
Yeah. And so is TJ, right?
Yep.
I mean, they get double teamed, triple teamed, and they're not just pass rushers. Like, I consider Myles Garrett strictly a pass rusher. They're game wreckers. So I don't know. I twist the microscope a little bit, and I say, no, TJ, you keep giving me, and I hear what you're saying, you're going to face better defenses, but if they keep giving
you're
me
face better quarterbacks,
better offenses, yeah, better quarterbacks, you keep giving me 17, 22 points. Come on, give me a representative NFL offense. Win a game on offense for once, you know?
No question.
Or at least hold the ball a little bit. These three and outs in the second half, one after another, after another, after another. Two three and outs preceded that long drive, the game-killing drive by the Patriots. Two three and out, at least two. Was it two or three in the second half there?
I'd have to look.
And eventually, you keep going three and out in the second half, your defense is going to break, I think. They went, where did they go here in the second half? They actually scored a touchdown in the second half, and then they went three and out, three and out. That's right. Their last two drives of the game were three and outs against New England. Folsey, would you care to share any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think I went through the numbers here. I'm trying to find the tweet. The Steelers' offense in the second half threw three games, one touchdown, three field goals, 10 punts. And there's deeper numbers into that, too. Yeah, if you take out that field goal drive at the end of the Cleveland game, the 8-play, 59-yard drive, in their fourth quarters, they've had 34 plays for 50 yards.
Not good enough.
So that's 1.47 yards per play in the fourth quarter.
You gotta help your defense a little more than that.
You gotta help a lot
time,
more than that.
Something.
Yep.
And these drives, I mean, a minute and 1 second, a minute 30 seconds in New England, 57 seconds in Cleveland, a minute and 11 seconds in Cleveland.
Having said all that, I was talking to somebody this morning, and it dawned on me during our conversation that it's now been a long time, and the Steelers, really on both sides of the ball, get dominated physically. It used to be their M.O.
They pounded you.
Yes,
now
on both sides
pounded.
Of the ball. When they've done all their winning, their big winning, that was the M.O. We're the Pittsburgh Steelers. We're going to out-physical you up front on both sides.
They did that in Cincinnati, though. On defense, I thought.
They did. I mean, they killed them.
Yeah.
And
I
still
think they've done it.
If you give me TJ Watt healthy, they're capable of doing that to teams. But man, this is just ugly. But this is a get well week. I still think they could lose to the Jets, make no mistake.
Oh,
but this is a get well week.
Cold bite your tongue.
They could.
No, they could. It's the NFL. You know, the Jets went to Cleveland and found a way to win. I mean, my goodness, if they lose this one, fall 1-3 and are looking at that gauntlet, could you imagine?
All hell's going to break loose.
You could look at a 1-7 start if that happens, I think. And
then
it doesn't matter.
Man.
It doesn't matter in the second half how easy the schedule is.
There's going to be a lot
easier the schedule is.
Vitriol around here if they lose this game on Sunday.
I'm trying to imagine what Monday would be like. Wow. Good tickets still available, by the way, for as little as $106. All right. Coming up, is there a mutiny on the Steelers' offense? What do we make of some of these comments from a handful of players now? Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Peters Township. Visit them online at southhillsjeep.com. You can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Steiner and Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Just to be clear, Falsey, Whitey Ford, who you guessed might be a member of the 27 Yankees, was born in 1928, Ron. In Manhattan he grew up. I didn't know that. Did you?
No, I didn't. I know there's a lot of people that think that Casey Stengel blew the 60 World Series by not starting him in Game 1, I believe. I think he started Game 3 in Yankee Stadium and then Game 6 and wasn't available for Game 7.
He went 25-4.
He was obviously a Hall of Fame pitcher.
The year Maris and Mantle had their home run race, he went 25-4. Overshadowed.
My understanding is he had a little bit of a fun time, too. He and Mantle.
I think they did.
They hung out together and had a good old time.
Was Derek Jeter on the 1960 team? Ron?
No.
I think
So impressive that Whitey Ford was on the 1927 Yankees when he was born in 28.
At minus 1 year old. Yeah.
Wow, what an accomplishment.
A lot of people called him a baby that year, Falsey. Said he acted like a baby.
Not bad. Not great. Not bad.
Thank you, Falsey. Ron, is there a mutiny on the Steelers? We read all these quotes about how, well, Claypool, Deontay, Mason Cole, they seem to be saying in cryptid language that the scheme is no good. But they're also saying that we're on the verge of breaking out, so we have no identity. We saw last week Trubisky says, hey, the best way to get to the middle of the field is to call schemes that get us there. We've seen all the quotes. They came out again yesterday. Which is accurate here? Do they feel like they're on the verge of a breakout, or do they feel like Matt Canada doesn't know what he's doing?
Maybe both. Again, I mentioned Hathorn, you know, I guess was on the morning show today and saying that he thinks the mutiny stuff is overblown, that he doesn't sense that in being around. But man, my interpretation reading those quotes, that's not a good situation. Now, Jeff's around there every day. I'm not. I think there's a lot of frustration for one thing. When you've had the start that this offense has had, the playmakers haven't really made the big plays. You know, maybe that's by the calls, or maybe it's because Trubisky not getting them the ball, although Deontay had a hell of a chance on a big play the other night and didn't make it. So I'm sure there's a lot of tenseness over there. I'm probably stopping a little short of a mutiny, but if they lose Sunday, man, all bets will be off.
A lot of them saying this hurry-up offense, up-tempo offense.
They want more of it.
I'm not sure that that's the answer, but it did seem to work again the other night. Sometimes things in small doses work because they're delivered in small doses. I don't know that you want to make that the offense or even more of the offense, but it has worked when they've sprung it. It has, to a certain degree.
Yeah. I mean, we haven't seen enough of it, but they've had success with that more than without it.
I tend to think it's a little overrated, too, although when
now
you hear...
Now, what's overrated? The tempo or the
mutiny? The mutiny part. Okay. When you hear Merrill Hodge basically say it's an amateur offense, I mean, these guys know what an offense looks like in the NFL. Even the younger guys know.
Absolutely.
I mean, I wonder what their conversations were like with Ben last year. Wouldn't you love to get behind closed doors and see some of maybe the texts where Ben would say, you know what, we'll do... I don't know that he did this, but I could imagine... We're going to run my offense late in games. You know, we got to put up with this. This is not an NFL offense.
We'll pull it out at the end.
Yeah. Or just in the huddle as he's huddling in the third quarter, late third quarter,
rolling
early fourth
his eyes.
Quarter.
Yeah.
Just like, you know what? We're going to do what we want here.
I always think of that throw behind the line of scrimmage against, was it Cincy? The one where they ran out of plays.
4th and 11, and they threw it 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage.
I always feel like Ben just ran the play. You know, okay, you want this?
Knew it wasn't going to work.
Exactly. Yeah, is this really what we want here?
Right.
There's no way he runs that play if he's given autonomy.
No.
I don't think.
He probably knew it was going to fail and just said, you know what? Here it is.
Very interesting move on the Steelers' depth chart. We suggested last week, we wondered at least, if Tyson Alualu was washed up. Hate to put it in those terms, but I see this week, Folsey tells us, Ron, that the depth chart, is it co-starters or is Montrevious Adams the starter?
Montrevious Adams is the starter. He is ahead of Tyson Alualu on the depth chart.
I mean, that says a lot.
Alualu hasn't been noticed at all. You know, everybody put a lot of stock in him coming back, among other things, getting Ogunjobi. I saw somebody had a review of Ogunjobi just okay, too. But they put a lot of stock in Alo-Alo, Ogunjobi, Miles Jack, Brian Flores. And Alo-Alo, I said from the beginning on that one, he's older and he's coming off ankle surgery.
Yeah.
Maybe we're expecting too much.
Maybe Archibong was underrated, Ron, and they should bring him back. Do you think so, Falsey? Resign Archibong.
Did he find a job? Is he in the NFL? How do you spell it?
I doubt it. Seems like half the guys from that defense can't. Yeah, I saw Derek Tuska just got cut by the Titans or somebody.
I think the secondary story to that, though, is that Montrevious Adams is pretty good. He's serviceable.
Is he?
I think
so. Is he pretty good?
He knocked down a pass.
Here's the problem. The other day.
Yeah, but that's not doing your job necessarily against the run. Here's the thing.
Are we going to pin it on Montrevious Adams,
though? No, but I don't know that Montrevious Adams is a classic Steeler-style nose tackle who's going to tie up blockers again in the run game and help other people make plays. It's nice that he knocked down a pass, Folsey. You might be right, though. Obviously, they think he can be an upgrade. I don't know that they have that guy.
Yeah, maybe
not. Archibong is out there.
And Archibong's available.
I mean, they certainly don't have a Casey Hampton in the middle of that defense.
No,
the big snack. That. He called our show the other day. Or he called Hokie during our show.
During our show. We should have got him on. Can you get a hold of Archibong?
I don't know how he can be reached.
Call him, Tuska. Who else is unemployed from last year on the Steelers' defense?
Well, Joe Hayden. Yeah.
Joe Schobert
doesn't have a team. We could put 11 guys on the field from last year that don't have a job.
That's sad. Yeah,
that wouldn't help you very much, though, would it?
It wouldn't be a very good defense. No. Coming up, Derek Shelton. Ron, may I engage in an exercise with Shelty today?
Feel free, my friend.
Here's the exercise. And any time you want to jump in, if this sparks a question, then you jump in and we'll get back to the exercise. I'm interested in the lineup moving ahead, the state of each position. Catcher, for example. I'll say to Shelty, let's start with catcher. Think a veteran next year? Who can you imagine having the job? The state of the catching position. I'll tell him to give short answers. If your spark asks a follow-up, we'll do that.
I will.
And then we'll go, I'll say, you know, second, short, and third. Can we assume it's going to be Castro, Cruz, and Hayes? He'll say yes, and we can move on. Does that sound good?
Sound like an exercise.
Folsey, sound good to you?
Yeah, I'm excited for it, actually.
All right.
And I think starting the rotation looks pretty good, the top three.
Yeah, maybe even the top four.
Oviedo, if you include him.
Let's do that next with Shelty and then Mike Tomlin with a lot of things to talk about at the top of the hour. Ron, let's go right out to the fan hotline. It's time for the Derek Shelton Show. The hotline presented by Nemacolin around every corner. Nemacolin creates real-life magic for guests. Shelty, we're going to overlook the fact that Folsey thought Whitey Ford was on the 27 Yankees and get right to it. Are you ready?
Wait. No, we're not overlooking. What did you just say?
We were trying to guess at the 27 Yankees lineup earlier and their staff, and Folsey suggested Whitey Ford may have been on the team. He was minus 1 year old.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've had dinner with Whitey Ford back when I worked for the Yankees, and I'm pretty sure he wasn't on that club.
It wasn't my best moment, Shelty.
Folsey, should we call him Whitey from now on?
I have some of those too, Folsey, so don't let it. And I'm sure that Cookie and Stark point him out when I don't. So yeah, I think you're fine.
I'm trying to shake it off, but Joe won't let me.
I can't let that one go. Shelty, I have an exercise for us to engage in. You, myself, and Ron, it needs to be done quickly. It's short answers and short questions. You're not prone to especially long answers, so this should fit your profile here. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
We're going to go over each position very quickly, the state of it, kind of as you finish this year and look ahead to next year. And I think a lot of us are seeing, you know, the skeleton of an actual good team with talent next year. So here we go. Let's start at catcher. The state of the catcher position is what, and could we see somebody like Andy Rodriguez or even Henry Davis next year?
I don't know about if we'll see those guys next year. I mean, we have to make roster decisions. I think the state is, you know, it's a position we will look to make sure that, you know, we upgrade in the offseason.
First base, is Andujar a possibility there?
Yeah, we're going to work out. Donnie worked out Andujar a little bit there yesterday. We'll continue to work him out. Talk to some of the guys in New York. He has not played there very much, but definitely something we are look at. We like the bat profile. I think that's another place, you know, as we've done this year, we will look to explore.
Safe to say that the rest of your infield, at least it's their jobs to lose. I'm talking Castro, Cruz, and, of course, Key Brian Hayes, that's kind of a set part of your infield, or no?
I think those guys are a big part of our core moving forward. I mean, you got Newman in there. You have Bay that's played there, you know, a little bit of second base so far in the early comings. But I think we are really starting to see a good young core of infielders, you know, for this group.
Shelty, you're still, are you convinced that Cruz can be your everyday shortstop still going forward? Maybe more convinced you were than when you called him up.
Yes, I think so. He's improved. I know he's made some errors, he got one two nights ago that I didn't think was an error. Last night, he just didn't move his feet. There's definitely still room for growth, but I think with a lot of shortstop you see that come to the big leagues, they have to continue to work. But definitely seeing signs. I mean, the play he made going last night to the hole, you don't see anybody make mm-hmm. that play. So, yeah, I definitely think there's signs of a good shortstop there.
Assuming Reynolds is here, he's a given in the outfield. Then what? Jiwon Bae, I think, is an interesting guy. Sawinski, who comes to mind for you?
Yeah, I think that group. I mean, Reynolds, you have Sawinski, you have Mitchell, you have Bae. You know, you have other guys. You have other guys we could acquire as we continue to go forward, but. I think that, you know, right there is a good core group of guys to build off of, and we've seen definite signs of, you know, improvement there. You know, you also add Marcano into the mix in terms of the infield and the outfield just because of the fact he's so versatile. So I think to your initial point, Stark, like you're starting to really see the good young core of these players that we've acquired and developed.
Shelty, how about the guys in the minors this year that maybe we haven't seen? Is there anyone you think has a real chance to challenge for a job next spring?
I think next spring may be challenging. I mean, you know, we've all heard the really positive things about Indy Rodriguez. Quinn Priester's had a really nice year. We just moved him. Triolo's had a nice year. You know, Henry's been hurt, but when he's been healthy, he's had a nice year. Sable's had a good year. I really think the main part of this, and you know, we talked about this going back to spring training, is just acquiring as much talent as possible. And, you know, it's something Ben set out to do when he took over the job. And I think we're finally starting to see, you know, the origin of that or the roots of that, you know, these guys we acquired or developed are now getting to the point where they're big league ready or close to big league ready.
It's the Derek Shelton Show here on 93.7 The Fan, just taking a look at sort of the state of each position going into next year. All right. So if I told you, Shelty, that I'm going to go ahead and pencil in Contreras, Keller, Ortiz, and Oviedo, would you tell me I think that's a smart move? You're pretty safe there?
I would tell you that's a good start. You know, I mean, these guys need to, you know, have good off seasons and work on their bodies and work on the things. But I do think that's a good start for, you know, a group. Now, that could just vacillate a little bit depending on if we acquire a starting pitcher or two. But I think to your point is, you know, we're starting to see the really good foundation of some young pitching here that's taken steps forward. You know, Mitch at the big league level this year, Ortiz coming through the system, Oviedo we acquired, you know, Rowe has done a really nice job. I mean, he's getting to the point where, you know, he's getting near his innings limit or above his innings limit. So we have to control him a little bit, but, you know, definitely a really solid start to a foundation of a rotation.
Now, you've mentioned at four positions unsolicited, and I think this is what people want to hear. I think they want to hear that the rebuild, or however people want to phrase it, is over, and that now it's time to move forward, time to add payroll, time to acquire players. You've mentioned unsolicited at first base, catcher, outfield, and your rotation, the possibility of acquiring players.
Well, I think the possibility is always there in terms of what we need to fill. I mean, part of it is, you know, not only what we need, but part of it's what's available too. So there could be situations where, you know, we have to, maybe positional change a guy into a situation, and that will be because of the fact that, you know, the availability is not there. Free agent is such a fickle thing. And then the other thing is it's not only free agency, it's signing a six-year free agent that, you know, you take a flyer on that blossoms into a good player, or you get a Rule 5 pick that's into a good player. So there's multiple ways that you can acquire guys to fit those spots. And I know we'll be diligent in terms of looking at all of them.
Shelty, you know I've been watching ball for 100 years plus, and I still say you can't win without starting pitching. I assume you might feel better than you did a month ago after seeing a couple of these young kids?
Yeah, I would like to point out that I made no age comments there, but you prefaced that.
I volunteered it. I volunteered it.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the one thing that you, and your point's right, that you learn over the course of time, you can never have too much starting pitching. And, you know, whether that group that Stark brought up, you know, starts the year in the big leagues, or they start the year in AAA and we build up innings, like the fact that we have depth at that position and are building depth at that position is really satisfying. And I just shows that, you know, we've acquired and developed some guys, and that's really important.
Lastly, and quickly, Shelty, is the idea with the bullpen next year to build around Bednar, and are you satisfied that he's going to be right and healthy?
Yeah, I'm satisfied that he's going to be healthy. I mean, you know, here at the end of the year, we're very much going to handle him appropriately, getting him through the year healthy. That's the most important thing. And I do think we've added some pieces around him. I mean, Stevenson has thrown the ball well, you know, since we got him. Yuri De Los Santos was throwing the ball well before he got hurt. Holderman has a really big arm. So I definitely think there's signs there, too, of building a bullpen that really functions in the right way.
We appreciate the time, Shelty. I think, what do we have, one, maybe two more of these? I can't remember.
Yeah, next. I think the season ends next Wednesday, right? So we'll be talking to you next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday. Wow. Cook's trying to get rid of me already.
I know. How about
what did that indicate that I was trying to get rid of you? We'll talk to him next Tuesday.
Is that how you took it?
Yeah, I did. I took it that way. Falsey,
oh,
did
God.
You?
Sure, yeah.
He's getting kicked off his own show.
I know. It's crazy.
We always.
All right, you guys have a good.
See you, Shelty.
Thank you, Shelty. Ron, that was incredible, this show today.
How did he take that in?
I think he was kidding.
Okay.
I think. But that was good. I think now we have an idea at each position what they're thinking. I couldn't, you know, he was adding, or we could, you know, acquire. Like, he didn't just say, for instance, at catcher, it's going to be this young guy and that young guy. I think we got a little window into what they're thinking, and I think it's going to be an interesting ball club.
I saw Cruz, I see Sawinski, I see Reynolds, some of these young guys. I never give them a chance until a month ago when a couple of these young pitchers took off a little bit, because they can't do anything with a lineup if they don't have starting pitching.
Yes. Mike Tomlin coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.